May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read a few associated, related passages and then connect a few dots, I hope. This is Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, "For your love is better than wine, and your presence is like a pleasing fragrance." Verse 4, "Draw me after you. Let us run together." And the king brought me into his chambers. "We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol in your love more than wine. No wonder the hidden ones love you." Read one more verse. Verse 5 says, "I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem." This is Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Verse 4. "He has brought me to his banqueting hall, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. Let his left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me." It's a little bit hard to teach, so I just will speak from my heart and hope it makes sense. I think the Lord popularizes particular words at different seasons in the body of Christ. If you'll think back, if you walk with the Lord for a while, there'll be during this season a phrase or a word, sort of a battle cry or a prayer that kind of is the popular one, and then some other word will spring up. It's God. It's the way God does with us. He kind of keeps it simple and sort of gives us insight into what's sort of his priority. And I never remember a time when I've heard the word breakthrough used so much as I have in the last maybe 10 years. It's a good word to describe about moving from one place in the Lord to the next experientially. We've talked about it a lot here. But I think the most significant breakthrough, and again, when I talk about breakthrough, I'm not talking about getting something you didn't have. I'm talking about entering into something you've not yet experienced that you do have. Because Jesus was the breakthrough, and he broke through and prepared a place for you that contains everything. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so in our earthly journey, we'll still house with this earth suit. We're breaking through into heavenly places. And so that's a little bit of a challenge for us because we have a tendency to still think in terms of the world. We're breaking through into this stuff he's prepared for us, into experience. But I think the most significant breakthrough isn't the breakthrough into signs and wonders, the breakthrough. And that's kind of the one people talk about the most. That's a great one. I pray for that all the time, that we would break through into a larger experience, seeing more people get healed, more significant things get healed in people's lives, some more Christ-like stuff. But I do think the most significant breakthrough of all, that maybe all the other breakthroughs get drug in with it. Like, you can break through one spoke at a time, or you can break through in a hub that carries all the spokes with it. And I think this breakthrough is this one, the Song of Solomon talks about, into this banqueting hall, experientially. That word banqueting hall is actually, if you look in your margins, probably it says literally, it's the Hebrew word for a house of wine. And in the Song of Solomon, wine speaks of love, or pleasures, and often the pleasures of the world as compared to the wine of the love of God. And the verse I read to you, she says, she's longing for breakthrough into his heart, into greater intimacy, a greater union, greater Christ-likeness, all that comes with that fullness of Jesus. And she says, because I've discovered something, that your love is better than wine. there's something about your love that's more intoxicating and more wonderfully intoxicating than anything wine ever had to offer. It's kind of like the New Testament. Don't live your life being drunk with wine, but live your life being drunk, filled with the Holy Spirit. And because she had had some encounter that discovered that his love was better than wine, anything the world had to offer, she prays this prayer. The prayer is, draw me after you. Do this thing in me. It's a breakthrough prayer. Take me away with you and let us run. And the very next statement is, the king brought me into his chambers. And there's just this explanation of encountering his love. Note rightly to those who've come before me into this, love you, the hidden ones. So when you get to Song of Solomon 2, she's still talking about what's happening to her in this breakthrough, this inner chamber thing that God has brought her into. And she says, take me away with you. He brought me into his chambers. And that Song of Solomon says, he brought me into his banqueting hall. King James says banqueting table. It's not that. It's a banqueting hall. But again, the word's literally house of wine. And what that is there was this great room where all the good wine was kept. And it was a huge table. And that was where all the great festive celebrations happened, where special guests would come. They'd bring out the best wine and have the biggest feast and celebrations in this house of wine or this banqueting hall. And she said, he's brought me into this banqueting hall, this house of wine, and his banner over me is love. And then she decrees herself as being lovesick. And then everything else in the Song of Solomon follows growth in that. This place that he brought her into, this breakthrough that she experienced, it says that he brought me into his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. We could do a lot about, Shelby could teach about banners better than I can, but there's a couple of simple things about banners, is that banners represented a number of things, but the two significant ones here, it was one, it was a source of identity. Tribes gathered under certain banners. And when you would stand up on the hill as the general or whoever you might be, and you watched the different tribes who had different assignments, you also knew where to direct them based on the banners, right? This tribe is here. I sent the tribe of Gad that to do that, and the tribe of Benjamin to do this. And you can keep up with them because they all stayed up under their banner. It was about identity, their identification. But it was also about warfare. It was also they gathered, God would do battle on your behalf as you went forth under that banner. It was a banner that had a name, but it was under his banner. In the scripture, the Shulamite may have been a Gentile. Some writers believe that. I kind of think that's probably true. And the Shulamite didn't come from wealthy family. Now, you remember Solomon was from a royal family. But the Shulamite says, I'm dark but lovely. The point being is that she said, I worked out in the vineyards and the sun burnt me. She worked as a servant girl in vineyards. She wasn't royalty. She was just a common person and maybe a Gentile too. So she wasn't someone that a royal person, a prince like Solomon would particularly pick. And so part of the idea is that when he brought her into the banqueting table, and there were all these friends, and most of them would be royal people or significant people or generals or heads of tribes, she may have come into that place really insecure. Remember, she wanted to hide because her skin had been sunburnt, and it was proof that she had been a servant girl. She'd worked in vineyards. She wasn't from royal family. There's like shame and guilt with that. But when she came into that banner, in that banqueting table, like in a royal procession, and sat down, and over her was this banner called love, she could look anybody in that room in the eyes without any shame whatsoever. Because being his beloved was her identity. And it was under that identity and under that banner that which she lived her life, that transformed her. She said, it's there that I'm lovesick, and there's all kinds of other cruel stuff that's there. That's true for us. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In the post that I did today, obedience can either be a duty or a delight. When you're in love, if you're in love, obedience isn't a duty, it's a delight. It's a duty that is a delight. And there's something worshipy about it. There's something joy-filled about it. There's something, Jesus said in Psalm 40, and he knew what he was going to face, it's a messianic psalm, he says, I delight to do your will, oh my God. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Part of that was just the sheer joy of doing the will of his Father. It's there in the banqueting hall where the love of Christ does whatever it does, conquers you. There's just this grace you come into where you find yourself delighting to do God's will. It being the most giddy thing you do. Because it draws a response to him. And the thing about love is that when you obey, it kind of is contagious. It invokes more obedience. It awakens more obedience. Because when you obey out of delight, it so delights him, it so ravishes him, that the ravishing him awakens more delight in you and longing to be more, to serve more, out of sheer joy and delight. And I just believe that every other breakthrough kind of comes with that. Every other breakthrough. Healing breakthrough, power breakthrough, every other breakthrough follows that breakthrough. And that really is the story of the Song of Solomon. That's why that's at the first of the book. Because everything else in the journey, the ministry, going out into the vineyards, waking me early to go out into the fields to carry your love, all that follows breakthrough into the banqueting hall. So I would just encourage you to pray for a breakthrough into the banqueting hall, into the house of wine. Because that's where lovesickness happens. And lovesickness is always manifested in joy-filled, delightful, extravagant, giddy, worship-filled obedience, which carries everything else with it. Because you remember in John 15, it's in that context, Jesus said, ask anything in my name. If you're keeping my commandments, abiding in my love, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. That care, that's every anointing. That's every blessing. That's every breakthrough. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.